For the record, I didn't say that David Murphy was Ty Cobb. He's hitting 278 over the last week. That's all. It'd be nice if that continued.
God,
so
damn.
Go to hell, Brad Calhoun, and the rest of you twittiots.
What do you know about baseball?
Yeah,
Danny?
Just because you got a microphone makes you sound. You think you know everything about baseball?
You
Good
don't.
Lord, go to hell.
I don't respond.
It's amazing.
Just let it go.
He actually has an uncharacteristically low BABIP and will probably regress back to the mean in the last third of the season, guys. Carry on.
Oh, look.
My name is Mark Falwell. You're listening to another dumb podcast. These guys are freaking morons.
Another dumb podcast. No, I like it. It's not dumb.
It's called another dumb podcast.
Well, that makes sense. So you could have just said, I'm doing another dumb podcast.
Yeah. Again, basketball dumb guy over here. Sorry.
On the dumb podcast.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Purple light and all.
Yeah, he's Mr. TCU, man.
My hair's in something weird.
Oh, I guess I should. I'm not going to post the video, but I would.
I don't care if you do.
I really don't. Oh.
He's still in the boomer phase of podcasting, audio only.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so funny that I got you into this and then I get dragged and be like, golly, it's like you're not even doing this right. I'm like, well, I don't care as much as you do for,
nope.
You know.
You're not making money yet.
No, we're not either.
No, you are. You just have too many expenses.
I would say your overhead is just a little too much. And then.
Yeah. Our salary is $0 per member.
Jake,
so
I think 5 to 10 years, you should really start making some money in this business.
That guy we met with the other day was like, you need to keep your OX low. And I just like acted like I knew that that meant overhead. I was
See, like, there's so many times where I hear you guys talk about business and I'm like, could I apply for a job? I'll work for free.
We just definitely have people OX that are... Means. We definitely have people in the meeting that know what it is, but I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, all right, it took me about 10 seconds. I was like, okay, operating.
There you go.
Expensive.
Yeah. There you go. Nailed it.
You get me, because I wouldn't have gotten that one. I'm not.
See, that's my whole life, Jake. I sit in those meetings every single day of my entire life until I come home and talk about frog baseball. That's my...
If I ever say any business shorthand, it's mostly to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like when they're like, hey, can you give me this? And I go, EOD.
COB. I'm learning a lot.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Oh, I know. But I do it to be more of an asshole, not like, oh, yeah, I really want to. I'm sorry. By the way, I do not have any type of script. I'd literally.
I don't care. I'm off.
I know, and it's like so
bring me up whatever you want.
Y'all aren't podcasting tomorrow or recording tomorrow?
Dan and Blake are gonna have to do it because I'm leaving town tomorrow morning with Kristen until Tuesday. Which the last time we did this, we just did 4 during the week, and then I was gone on Friday, but we had a bunch of meetings yesterday, so there was no way we could have done 4 this week with all 3 of us.
I'm a little behind on the dumb zone. I just finished the post Super Bowl episode. I guess that would have been Mondays.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who here's a little sneak peek. You know who we had on today was Jenna Ryan.
Shit. Oh,
that's a flip from Is Talk Franco.
It is. Yeah.
Catch up on that one too.
We got a lot of trouble for that last time, but
that's the lady who got charged for going Gen 6 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She did some time.
So she did do some time.
Yeah.
So is this again? Charles,
y'all have the weirdest array of like friends of the show.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's merely whack-ish.
From Slovenian basketball analyst to Patrick Mahomes trainer,
but
to
honestly,
J6 writer.
But that kind of dates back even before you, Jake. Like I remember.
Oh yeah.
Triple Rainbow guy getting on with Bob and Dan.
Kind
of. You remember that one?
Something Bear.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He was a full-on hippie,
like Grizzly Man.
No, you're thinking of two different things.
No.
What? Okay, the guy, the Triple Rainbow
Honey
guy.
Bear.
Was named Honey Bear. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, is he still alive?
He is not.
No, he's not.
No.
What?
Bob and Dan broke that news about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And he passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shook right now, actually.
It's tough, yeah.
Oh, double rainbow all the way across the sky.
Yeah.
I think maybe I did remember the news, but that's a little shocking. I do not have a script. You texted me earlier today. It's like, yeah, I can podcast today. And I go, okay, cool.
Y'all just do whatever you do, and I'll be here.
It's what we do.
I have like an hour, maybe a little bit more. Well, I don't have much.
What we do. Jacob, we get on and we start talking and
we had a little longer with Jacob, but apparently has Valentine's Day today.
I got delayed Valentine's Day today. That's got a reservation at the Hudson House. Got
oh, nice.
Get those the hour martinis in.
We've been there a couple times. Come here, babe.
Yeah, it's great.
Here, check this out.
Oh, is it the cat right there?
Oh. Oh.
That's the cat?
This is my little guy.
All right. I got one that looks almost just like him, but I got it for free.
That's a $1,500 cat?
No, I'm kidding. That's a
nice start your show.
This show has started. I'm sorry. It's sorry, I didn't know if you needed intros or anything, but that I'm now shook about that. I can't believe that cat costs that much.
Well, the thing is, it'll just let you do stuff like, you know, you can just like Arnold it.
It doesn't scratch the hell out of your
eyes.
I feel
like it would be worse. Like when it's that expensive, it should just be the most aristocrat, no pun intended, kind of cat where I will do whatever I please. I'm a $1,500 cat.
Oh, no. It lets you do whatever you want.
Oh, that's insane.
Which is big for, you know, a small child.
See, I'm not a big cat guy. Jacob.
Are we doing the show right now?
It's a show. Yes.
Okay.
Jake just needs a nice fun. What? We had an intro there. And then. Were
you expecting Brad to throw at your head or something? Like,
No. I just didn't know if there was like a point where you do like any sort of intro.
No.
Like, hey, this is the, you know.
No, it's pretty much just an hour and a half of cold open.
Okay. He was waiting for me to start doing shake voice to introduce him when I did last time.
Yeah, like a me undies read or.
What were we doing the other day yesterday?
Talking about HelloFresh.
Welcome to HelloFresh. Yeah.
Exactly.
We have Jake here, but first,
I got a promo code for you.
Friends over at the Dollar Shave.
Yeah.
No, we have no. I think maybe a time or two I tried to do the intro.
That is a good question, though. What are some podcast pet peeves of it? Because that's definitely one of them. The generic ad read. I absolutely want to throw my phone whenever that happens.
You asking me?
Yeah. No, just in general. Do you have any?
Yeah, yeah. So I
podcast like what just makes you cringe whenever you hear it?
I think, you know, and I've brought this up a couple of different times to like we have two people that we're working with that are kind of trying to help us build the business. Probably sometime around like 2017 or 2018, I got really into Cumtown.
Yeah,
and
you tried to sell me on that one time.
That's a good one.
I feel like what was so great about their reads, and probably it had a lot to do with their reach because they were having like an extremely high conversion rate. So, you know, the agencies that were doing the buys like didn't really get upset with them. But I thought, you know, I would never skip an ad of theirs, you know, and it might be 10 minutes long. And like this Blue Chew ad might be about Sebastian trying to fuck Ariel.
Stock market's fucked up, guys.
But it was, so, you know, you to me, like they just did a really good job of, you know, making their reads like content. Whereas, and I feel like probably what we used to do, like with radio, is kind of in the middle. But I hear a lot of people who do podcast ads that they're clearly just reading like copy. A script. They just hit the exact copy points.
Where are you getting your energy?
Yeah, I mean, even that was actually like that. That company actually loved that, you know, because it became
he didn't have a
dynamic.
Script, though.
That's the thing. Like, he couldn't find it, right? Or
I believe that's the case. Yeah,
he has this true engine. He has no idea. We're gonna find a lot about
So for our entire one sponsor, we refuse to do like a scripted ad read. We just kind of conversationally talk about it at some point and try to sell it that way.
I mean, they certainly prefer that. You know, they want it to sound a little bit more natural and organic, but it's a give and take, you know, because some companies, if they don't trust you, they want you to read it exactly as is. And then you run into some other like slight issues, like where if you're doing like a category that's something like finance, which I'm sure you know, Jacob, like you could get into like real trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
For like freelancing that a little bit. Yeah, there's like some SEC.
Yeah, if you're talking about investing or any kind of money management, right, that kind of deal, yeah.
Yeah, so just to go back to your first question, I think sometimes it's annoying to me when people do just read the script. I it's obviously working for him, but I don't love the front-loaded spot like pre-roll that Rogan does where he just does like 6 minutes of ads.
Yeah. He's gotten better at it now. Now he'll give you 5 minutes of the show or something like that.
Are you playing an ad read from, I'm not really too cool with the name of this podcast.
This is Cumtown. Sorry, I had it pulled up that says clinically insane ad reads from Cumtown.
You can't miss if you play something.
Okay. Let's just try this real quick and then see what.
Probably going to be an ad on the ad read video.
No. I have premium.
That's right.
Sorry.
Got to get premium.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's the only guaranteed safe bet in the world. And you can go check them out at 100% guaranteedsafebet.com, which in a week's time should redirect to Bet the Assignment.
Beat me off, guys. And now 100%
did
safe.
Do it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Immediately.
Salute
actually,
to our
you know
gorgeous
what? I'm sorry.
Fans.
That guy DM'd me and I didn't get back to him.
There's no way to lose money.com.
Yeah. Listen, I do want an email.
Go ahead.
They're just doing a gambling. This is like
chaotic.
Very much would be illegal on the air.
And it's a Bet
like,
DSI.
They're doing
one.
A Bet DSI ad.
You'll
like,
never lose. You there's no
you'll
way.
You'll never lose money.
There's no way. They actually, yeah.
In a week, that will redirect to Bet DSI.
Have you heard Shane? Shane has the, I can't remember which betting site that he has, is he now can't do his picks of the week or something like that now. Apparently,
I listen to that pretty regularly, but I have not. I mean, I know that he does like it's either my bookie or something like that.
Yeah,
but
he was going, and I can't say who I think should win now.
Yeah,
apparently
yeah.
He was told not to do that.
That's kind of like part of the deal with the gambling money becoming bigger is there's a lot more stipulations.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, do you think the sports books get annoyed when they have to pay for ad time, but like 30 seconds of what they pay for is just them having to read the legal stipulations.
Oh my God. Like,
can you
if you have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLING, blah, blah, blah.
In Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
They give you another one for, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so much money there that it's kind of cool. Hard to, yeah, I don't know, but.
All right. I'll give you one more pet peeve and see if you can follow me on this one. So I call it like the New York format, where they'll get like a comedian, a woman, and then like a hyperactive gay yuck monkey.
Okay. Yeah.
And it just seems like that format. You know what I'm talking about? Have you heard podcasts like that?
Well, that was the old ONA used to have the, I forgot what it's called. It was Jocktober. October they would spam a bunch of morning radio guys, and now that's kind of like gone into podcast.
It just feels like the market is flooded with that format too much.
So too many gay guys, got it.
No,
yeah, too many women.
What I'm saying. You know damn well what I'm saying.
All right. No, I don't know. I don't listen to those ones. Well, I was telling you the other night, I listened to some of these you know, like there's Earwolf and there's some other podcast networks who have some ads, which there are a lot. I wish somebody would do analytics on this, but like of the percentage of what the podcast actually has, you have an hour podcast and how much is actually the podcast and how much is it all ads? I swear one of them was about 10% ads.
Yeah, that's a problem. But I think what I'm trying to describe is a lot of NPR podcasts when they're trying to be funny and they kind of have a model for it. Do your significant others listen to podcasts?
Yeah. So mine does. And I would say it pretty much breaks down into two categories. Real quick, I will tell you, for like The Ticket, that's pretty much like a 44-16 split. So that's actually like more than 10%. And it depends on like
the time
of day. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, as we like look to do ads, I don't think 10% being ads. I mean, I guess if you're doing a 3-hour show, that could be a little bit cumbersome. But
the Ticket having ads has been an issue in the past. I mean, it's not an issue, but it's like
gunman.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
of ads.
You know, I mean, it's. I used to hear people say that a lot, and it's like, dude, Howard Stern used to do like 20-minute commercial breaks sometimes.
Yeah,
but he'd be on the air for like 30 minutes, though, right?
Yeah, he would go like for basically what accounted for like 2.5 segments, mm-hmm. but because they just let him kind of do whatever, and then he would go for, you know, 18 minutes of ads.
I'd get that. I would actually, and I've talked to other radio guys about like the clock thing, where the Fan was doing that for a little while, where they would do like really quick commercials, but then their segments would be microscopic. Like they would be like
7 minutes.
Yeah. They'd be really quick. Like, man, I would like to listen a little longer.
Right.
Yeah. And there's obviously like a science behind that as far as like how the meters work and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But, I would say my wife's podcast listening breaks down into two distinct areas.
Can I get one of them?
It's going to be easy.
It's murder.
Murder drama.
Well, sort of, but really more specifically, murder drama from anything predating 1900 in England.
Oh, interesting. That's a very specific market.
So there's like there's a podcast called like Royal Blood.
Okay.
And I think the lady wrote a book, you know, and she might have gone up to like mid 20th century type stuff, but it's just like this king and this whatever, you know, cheated and the 16th century, it's all that sort of stuff. And then the other one is
so crown related, though.
Definitely crown related. Yeah, crown related. Yeah, for sure.
Man, then, she could be on with the Skinlonins when they do that.
Yes, yes. No, she would be a great third co-host there. And then the other one is stuff like there's a podcast called You're Wrong About.
Mm.
And that one kind of fits somewhat into the mold that you're talking about, where they have, I believe, a lesbian and a gay man. And they both have like extreme vocal fry, but it's also like a great show.
I'm not saying they're not great. My thing is there's too many of them, and too many podcasts are trying to repeat that formula.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that, like, to a certain extent, the staffing of shows, I don't know that it necessarily works this way. Well, it probably does, actually, in, you know, sports talk. But somewhat of your staffing decisions are based on advertisement viability. So, you know, it doesn't make like a ton of sense to bring on a bunch of women if you're only trying to sell ads to men.
Right.
You know, there is just something to that. So, you know, I mean, I think that applies on the other side as well. You know, I mean, I think most female run podcasts don't feel like obligated to bring a male in because they're trying to sell, you know.
Okay. I'll give
vaginoplasty or whatever.
I just remembered my other podcast pet peeve. Athlete or celebrity who otherwise would have no idea how to do a podcast, hire the white nerd to give them the most perfect production just so they can go on there and just ramble.
The Pat Bev effect.
Pat Beverly's the first one that comes to mind.
But which I don't even know. I don't
They have the best equipment, the most perfect production.
Which is great, I think.
I know, but it annoys me that I don't have that.
I do love a conversation be like, man, give me some of them motherfuckers who know how to do audio and shit.
Yes.
Please.
The only thing I would say about Pat Bevs is Roan is like a longtime podcaster. So, like, he's been in the game for a long time. He's been at Barstool for like 10 years. The one that really annoyed me was Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Like, no, he had
one. I'd never seen that guy before. He did like, I don't know, 40 or 50 episodes or something. But Roan is like legit on his own right.
True.
And I don't know why, like, it's not like he's going to see this. So I don't really give a fuck.
Joining us now.
Yeah.
I'd say he's our special guest.
But there are a bunch of other ones like that. And I would imagine that, you know, the way that Micah's is set up, which we talked about a lot on the Dumb Zone today, whoever's setting it up for him is not on camera. They're not on mic, but they're definitely making sure that it sounds better than almost anything I've ever done.
Right.
And the player podcast thing is, I don't know, man. It's pretty out of control.
What a trend.
Pretty out of control.
You got Dwayne Wade out there now.
Yeah.
He's like, I may not be able to do a good show if I wasn't Dwayne Wade and I can bring out Dirk.
Yeah. Yeah. And like some of them are really good. Like I think those All the Smoke guys.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that just came up. About
Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I think their shows are really good.
I think
most of them suck, though. Draymond's show sucks.
Draymond, man, you're naming all the ones. I'm like, I did not know they had podcasts.
You just name an athlete.
One,
and they have the absolute most perfect production
What is the benefit of doing that shit, though? Like, I mean, some of those guys, at least they can get some revenue, but like some of these guys are actively playing. Or they played many, many, many years ago. Like Dwayne Wade, what is Dwayne Wade going to affect for, I don't know how much he's going to make.
I think some of it's boredom and ego.
Oh, God, yeah.
100%.
Like it's self-importance.
Is that like the LeBron show?
Dude, imagine how bored Dwayne Wade is.
Yeah.
Dedicating 90% of his day to basketball.
That's what's funny, the LeBron barbershop show. And you're just like, Why are you even doing this? You're almost worth $1 billion. You're worth $1 billion. Yeah, like here,
that's 100% ego because he thinks everything he says is the most important thing everyone needs to hear.
Well, I would say most of these people though are not, you know, speaking from experience, I don't have a whole lot to say or don't have much of a personality. to boot,
my girlfriend listens to crime podcasts in a sense that she just wants to know. Like when she hears this stuff, she's like, man, it's 50-50 that this is going to happen to me someday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll go over my wife's. She doesn't listen to any podcasts. That doesn't happen. So she's maybe.
Does she not listen to another dumb podcast?
Absolutely not. She's not listened to 1 second of my podcast. She did listen to one.
Grego.
No, I think it was Bob. I think it was Bob Sturm. And she goes, you're really good, or he's really good. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
No, it wasn't me.
The other one for her is Bravo Drama.
Yeah, yeah, like the Andy.
All
like
the breakdowns. All the Vanderpump characters all have a podcast. She listens to all of those.
You know another podcast that I found. So there's the rewatch podcast phenomenon. And that part actually turned me off. You know, the office ladies have one.
Never heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard.
Yeah.
Well, there's
Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Correct. Yeah.
And I got done listening to that part, and I'm a huge office. I mean, it's something I've watched like a million times, and I got done listening to them, and I go, I really hate actors after this, because. It's more or less, you know, they're actors who are playing a show about being in an office, and they go, yeah, we would show up in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning and we'd start fake working, and they would do this to run B-roll and all this other stuff. And I go, this is aggravating. These people are like, we were fake working. And I don't know why it's irritating to me. Like, I really had to put myself into the working man and all that. And I'm kind of like, I think I hate actors now. I don't know if I'm describing that good enough.
No. I somewhat understand what you're saying, but I mean, I think that's a general thing that you see with the public when it comes to pretty much anybody who is doing a job that a lot of people would want, and they're being fairly well compensated for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, at a very, very low level, like I've experienced this to a certain degree. I can't tell you how many people that either at a wife office work party or just, you know, I run into them or whatever, and they're like, damn, so what's it like to work like 4 hours a day? And I'm like, dude, like, and I feel like even providing like a defense of that feels like I don't appreciate having a cool job. But I mean, the way that I would describe it to people is like, I'm never on and I'm never off. Like, I don't have to clock in. I don't have to get on top of a house. I don't have to cut down a tree. But like, my entire life is my job. Like, I'm literally never off.
You can't watch a Cowboys game like Brad and I watch a Cowboys game.
I can't just go, yeah, you know, like, and even like, you know, the Super Bowl stream parties when we'll have some drinks or something. And it is fun, but it's also like,
you're locked in.
You're at least on camera and you know that it's being like broadcast to a lot of people. So I think some of the backlash that public people face is that the general public sometimes might be like, quit bitching. But it is like there is some level of like relative anxiety related to it where you're just like, oh man, like my whole life is just being this person that people know. And so that's probably a little bit what they're referring to on the Office podcast, but
yeah, I don't think that's exactly what I was. I mean, that's somewhat of what it is.
It just seems kind of elitist.
Yeah, it does. But it's also like, man, I don't know. Just trying to. But I also realize with these actors, you know, the reason why some of these actors are really, really good, it's not because of them like the smartest people in the world. It's just they consume things a lot easier than other people. And I don't think they have a lot of. I'm not saying that they're dumb. Because I don't think a lot of them are dumb.
How is that different from any other industry?
Because it's just, they're able to be that container of like, you need to play the cop, you need to play the nerd, you need to do all these things. And they're just like, I will do that. And they're able to just go into that real easy. Where if someone asked me to be a cop,
that sounds like a natural talent.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, the one thing I would say about that is that
that's sports point, Norm.
Sorry.
Give it to Rathman. One thing I would say about that is that in, you know, over the years and reading interviews with people that were actors, actresses, is that some of them actually like learn a lot about whatever the thing that they're supposed to be portraying. And
oh yeah.
And like from then on, like know a lot about like, I don't know, Jacob, for example, like people learn a lot about like being a recon Marine, or they learn a lot about being a cop, or they learn a lot about being a doctor, or they learn a lot about being, you know, an abused wife. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
a lot of times those people end up like speaking out for and about those people. But I think a lot of them, you know,
Joker.
You know? Like the check.
Which exactly. in credit, The Office did.
Sometimes you just have to kill yourself.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. But which, you know, in turn, The Office did do that. They kind of, in a funny way, expound the whole corporate structure and all those things.
Yeah, and I think that show actually, like, made people enjoy their jobs more.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, because people were like, I can now find, like, some sort of levity
in the dumb shit that we used to do during the day.
Yeah, like, just the banality and the boringness and the dumb shit that I have to do every day. Like, maybe there is something funny about some of this stuff. So,
and my boss is the dumbest person in the room. And
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I have a work wife or a work husband, whatever. You know, stuff like that.
There's the guy that you don't understand how he still works there. And
of course. Of course. You're like, oh, this is relatable. Like, everybody else is dealing with this.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on to the next topic. I don't know how to talk about this. I think another thing was I wanted to chat with you about is again.
And you can, dude, you can ask me anything. Like, I'm no longer under like any sort of.
Well,
thing,
I know, but
lawyers aren't peeking over your shoulder.
I didn't want to do a whole like a heavy you know, ticket things. Like, tell us how much you hate the ticket or don't hate the ticket and all
this. Who's mad at you and who's not mad at you?
It's like, I don't know. And I'm kind of like, you know, I think you're going to have a podcast coming out next month, right? Detailing a lot of these courtroom stuff.
A couple of them, yeah.
Okay, good. Which is something I'm very interested in here. And I'm not saying I won't ask about it. It's just like, I think you're going to detail a lot of that shit into that. So I'm kind of reserving a little bit because I want to know more about that.
I'll ask you something, and you don't have to name names, but are there people at the ticket that you have, like, that your relationship soured after you left? Anybody? Or is it all still copacetic?
I would say nobody.
No. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people that we were dealing with, I'd never heard of before.
Yeah. Just a manifold.
The suits.
Whoever. Yeah. I don't know. Outside counsel, whatever, stuff like that. So, no. I mean, we actually, we had a husband and wife up to the den on Tuesday for his birthday, and they asked me something very similar. And I'm like, dude, I talk to someone from that radio station every single day.
Yeah. And have you had anybody from the ticket on yet? I know you had Mike Reiner on, but.
No, I mean, I think like they probably wanted to let the dust settle a little bit.
Yeah.
I would say probably give it a year. Probably give it a year or so.
Yeah, might not be that much.
Well, that Miner was happy at least.
Yeah, I mean, in no small part, like, look, I'm not like some fucking martyr benefactor or anything like that, but it does make me happy that a lot of people that I think are very deserving and very talented are able to expand their roles and I assume expand their, I guess you would just say compensation. I don't know. Again, I'm not privy to the details on stuff like that, but I think everyone who moved up in whatever degree that they moved up, like, deserved it. And I'm happy. I hope they're happy. And so, no, I don't have like a bad relationship with anybody there at all. Like, I literally talk to one, probably two of those collection of 15 people every day.
Did you hear what Mino said? They asked him, if we'd asked you a year ago, what would have to happen for you to be a host on the ticket, like 1 year later? Did you hear what his answer was?
I did not. I do hear their show a decent amount, but, you know, that's like
right when we're recording.
Said, yeah.
Yeah. They said, what would it, if you would have told you last year you'd be a host right now? Well, he said plane crash.
Yeah, Super Bowl or training camp or something like that. Yeah.
I would say the more pressing question that doesn't have to do anything with legal is, will we hear either a combination of you or one of you on terrestrial radio ever again?
I don't know. I mean, that's definitely not the plan.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And I do think that there was some like degree of, I don't know if you would call it hesitancy to embrace what we were doing, because did you just go to Zinneapolis, Minnesota? Hop on the Zamboni? There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah. Beats vaping.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm the only pussy not doing the nicotine.
That's an old school jewel, isn't it?
Yeah. Man,
I got the craving. No, I'm kidding.
I think, you know, I think we're pretty open to just about any conversation, but that was definitely not the impetus for, you know, like doing what we did.
Did you see podcasting becoming what it is today when y'all started It's Just Banter back in 2000?
I mean, to be honest with you, like, yeah, 2000. as crazy as it sounds, like, I kind of did.
Really?
I kind of did, you know, because I had a couple of friends who were kind of like pretty early in on like the space, as they say. And they were just like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's going one direction and on demand is going to be the direction. And then you started to see like some integrations into vehicles like Apple CarPlay. And there's a bunch of different versions of that, which primarily that's where you're trying to reach people, you know, is on their commute. And if not on their commute, then definitely on like their workout or their just around the house type stuff. Like that, you know, to me always seemed like, you know, we have DVR,
right?
Like, so well, if we already have this for television, why wouldn't we have it for spoken word audio? And the one thing I would say, a little bit of an aside or caveat on that, is that I do think that there's something to like local.
Mm-hmm.
That I think people are always going to like. And I also think that there's something to live, you know? So even if like, you know, Apple CarPlay, you can stream something live. So I think, to me, the perfect model is you can listen to something live if you want, and it's available for you to listen to afterward whenever you want. And yeah. I think there's a local component to that as well. So, and the other thing too is, you know, if you listen to a podcast or a live stream and it has advertisers, I actually think that even though you can skip them, that's a more what we would call an active audience, where if people have to seek out the content as opposed to just like pressing 1, 2, or 3, they're actually more likely to convert.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I know. I like that what you said there. I know for me, when I go to my commute, I have an option. I have the Musers or a podcast. And more often than not, I still find myself just throwing on the Musers.
Same.
And then podcast, around 10 a.m. I'll switch over to podcast. So I guess what you said there about there's something to live. Yeah, that still appeals to me.
Well, like, yeah, and I think the last thing I would say about that too is just that with podcasting and streaming, like your listener demographic analytics are so much better that you can really target, like, this is exactly what my audience is. Like, you know, we have like a sales kit right now or whatever. It's just like, all right, here's the exact, like, that's kind of hard to get with radio. Like, you can try, but we know like exactly where everyone is listening, how old they are, their, you know, race, gender, you know, marital status, etc. And that to me becomes a more powerful sales tool than perhaps just like a ratings book number.
So I'll take it a step further. Do you think we're now in a transition period where podcasts are becoming outdated and it's more YouTube? Live streams or videos or...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of a semantics argument because a lot of people listen to podcasts on YouTube.
Right, but they can see it. They can see...
Sometimes, but sometimes people just put up... It sounds like Brad probably knows. They just put up like a still image.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have like YouTube Premium, that's just like the way that you...
That's literally how I consume it, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's, so, I mean, you're listening to Matt and Shane, and there is a visual component to it, but 95% of the podcast couldn't be consumed while just listening to it. And then like maybe a few things where a face would be made or something like that. Or
I just know for us, like our exposure and interactions have, you know, what are exponentially increased since we got on YouTube. And, you know, it's the same podcast, just there's video. It's on YouTube.
Listen, I didn't bring Jake on here for you to get fucking podcast advice from him. Okay,
up. I don't mind. I mean, this is
industry.
I'm just fucking with you.
This is kind of like my life now.
I know. Yeah, you are becoming the connoisseur.
So,
so
I think about this stuff a lot. I listen to a lot of other people who are way smarter than me talk about it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do think obviously like the Twitch component of it is huge, but sometimes I wonder like if that's like an immature market a little bit because it's primarily people like under 25 using Twitch. But, you know, at the same time, I do think I think every radio show should have video live streamed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen, you know, a couple places in town capitalize on that. It was, for whatever reason, not something that we did at the Ticket. And they're, you know, it sucks. I don't love being on camera, but I do think it's a, you know, it's a revenue opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps tremendously with promotion. You know, people are way more likely to click on like a 90-second clip of Dan forgetting a word that's video than audio. So I think that's part of it too.
Yeah.
Well, now you got to do bits like Mr. Beast contests and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like the camera, when we do it, I don't love it just because like I'm extremely insecure, but I also feel like it makes me like up my fuck a little bit, as Mike Soroy would say. Yeah. Like it makes me, yeah.
Like, was there a video of you eating those pizzas?
Of course there was.
That could have been a whole like YouTube thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But the little bit of images that we did have of that like did really well.
Exactly.
Videos of y'all, Batman and Robin getting off the dart.
Yeah, stuff like that does well, and if you can sell it, then it's worth it.
Interesting.
Is your youngest still a maniac? I always love updates from your son.
As you said, you called him a fucking terrorist, I think, one time.
Yeah. I stand by that.
I told my girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, you know, that podcast he's like the daughter. She's so sweet, blah, blah, blah. And then the son is just constantly trying to kill me or kill himself.
Dan came over here on Saturday because he gets his hair cut at the same place I do, like in downtown, if you want to call it that, Grapevine. And he came over here and, you know, he was just like, oh, I just want to hang out, see the cat, see the boy. And he got to see it. Like he starts on one side of the room and he will just run full speed into the couch and launch himself into it.
Oh, I used to do it too. That was fun.
My mom says that he reminds her of my brother. Which anybody,
man, you got Vietnam stare there for a second.
Dude, he's out of control, man. He's out of control, and the cat tolerates him, but I'll turn around and he's just got the cat in a headlock, like carrying it around the house. He's a wild boy for sure.
That's fun.
Like, it's fun though.
I think even with like daycare, you have to kind of see how they're going to react, because my oldest daughter got kicked out of daycare for having too many fights or kicking people or biting or whatever. Like, that she was a problem. Like, she was a straight fucking problem.
I've heard of that before. He's actually done pretty well at daycare. He's only been there for what, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, but
is he well, hold on, I'm gonna try.
He's lucky he's cute.
A year and a half now, or
not? Like year and 3 months.
God, time flies.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, yeah, give it time. But, you know, like...
How old's Nora?
She just turned 5 last month. 191.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, the youngest was literally, like, a teacher and would take care of everybody in daycare. So, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah.
They're going to do exactly what they want. All right. What else?
It's your show.
Okay. That's merely like
this was like the first time when Jake was on, and I was listening on an airplane, and it was just him dogging you the whole time.
Well, you got it. Well,
because he's a professional, right? He's got the run sheet. He has every segment all well prepared. And then this show is based on just winging it.
I knew the podcast was
probably driving him crazy.
I knew the podcast was going good last time. He goes, how long do you fucking go? Like, I think we were at an hour, like 20. He's like, is this going to end sometime? No, he does a 2-hour and 20-minute podcast like an asshole.
Jake, we recorded a couple nights ago, and I think we went to what, 2 in the morning?
Yeah, but I would say about 30%, like 30% of that was even recorded. I don't even know. Yeah, that's not even coming out.
Like, we got to turn the recorder off. And
I was like, yeah, there was privy information that could not be out, and which I think this is going to release before that podcast does, because that's going to have to be heavily.
If that one never sees the light of day, I'm okay with that.
I think that one has to be heavily edited, where it's like, we talked about that. Oh, that person's name was said. Can't put that one out.
Well, that was definitely a drunken thought. Probably delete that one.
Like friends of yours or like public people?
No. Just like, yeah, people went to, it was me and Jacob went to high school and another guy I went to high school with. We were flat, you know, straight knocking people's names out. And I'm like,
Ooh. Oh,
fuck, man, we can't say that. And then, you know, I don't know, just things that my wife would never listen to, but she'd be like, what the fuck did you say?
Like, yeah, that is like Dan's brought this up before. One weird thing about, I mean, it was definitely weird on the ticket. I feel like it's maybe a little bit weirder now, because we've like kind of cut the brakes and we're just going wild card.
Yes.
But, yeah, like the fact that my mom listens to the podcast, obviously hasn't stopped me.
That would be really tough.
It's definitely weird. Like I'll see her, you know, and I like know that she's listened to the most recent episode.
Yeah, I don't think my mom's listened to maybe one or two. The funnier story was, you know, Jake was actually in the radio. It was the time that you were filling in with Danny, and I was fucking with Danny really bad because he was telling me that David Murphy was really doing well.
Oh, I remember that.
In
yeah.
a segment. And I was like, shut up, Danny, you're dumb. I don't know what I said to him. I was like, yeah, I was like, David Murphy still sucks. And then he gets on the radio and he goes, well, I didn't say that he was going to be Ty Cobb or anything. I just said he was doing well. So screw you, Brad Calhoun. He said it on the radio.
Remember Jake jumping in on that?
Yeah, he did.
Well, he's got a BABIP that's really low, so he'll probably regress
to the mean. I'm going to put that on the end of this podcast. But, you know, when that happened, my mom got in. She was leaving work, turned on the car, and the ticket was on. And just the ticket turned on, and she just hears, screw you, Brad Calhoun. And she's like, what the hell?
Did she not know that you're like a Twitter terrorist?
The over-listener.
The over-listener, the... As
did Bob really call you the over-listener?
Yeah, he did. I think I have it somewhere. And that's when I go, well, I guess I'm going to stop listening so much now. no Sean problem. Sharif calls me the top... He called me the top five worst Twitter trolls or something like that.
And I would agree with that.
And I saw him in person, too.
And now you're older and tamer, and you can't shake the label.
I know. I was like, I'd calm down. I don't think y'all recognize
it. We all have.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I look at my, I'll sometimes just scroll through my tweets. I'm like, God, when did I get so boring?
Oh, man, I used to
flame the timeline back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of stopped.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, completely.
For me, it's TCU content. That's about
worth,
it.
It's not
That's,
worth the heat anymore, especially with the, like, you used to be. I did a couple political tweets the other day, and I was even. And as soon as I hit it, I go, "That was stupid."
Yeah, I sure as hell. Ain't
I don't really care about that.
I could not care less about anything political anymore.
Or Facebook memories will come up, and I'll 2016. I had some hot sports opinions rolling out, and I go, "I don't think I really cared that much," and I apologize to everyone.
Yeah, I think for me, like I just. It's weird because like I was afforded a bit of an opportunity to say what I wanted to say like in long form when mm-hmm. I got promoted a little bit. And at that point, I just no longer really wanted to tweet, you know, like I was just like, man, what the fuck? Which is there's a bit of a paradoxical relationship with that because, you know, if you're going to be involved in like podcasting and streaming and digital media, like social media is obviously a huge part of it. But I just felt like I could never really say what I was trying to say. And then people would take it how they took it, you know, and then reply. And I would get upset about like, I fucked that up.
Man.
Or, you know what I mean? Like it just,
yeah.
it just never, it never felt like I was landing things the way that I wanted to land them. And it just seemed easier for me to be like, okay, well, now I have, you know, the ability to host. I'm just going to say what I have to say and let it go into the ether.
And you don't care. I mean, I think a lot of, again, I'm so glad, you know, Jacob's over here trying to grow his podcast. I do this kind of as a fun thing, but I don't want to get any bigger. I'm actually trying to shrink the podcast just to make sure.
Good business plan.
Yeah. Firing your listeners.
I don't have a business plan. I have no aspirations to make the podcast any bigger or any monetization on it. But, to be big enough that, you know, whenever I do some Bob Sturm interview or I did the Grego interview, that was my little taste of like, oh, so you can literally do anything and you get off of it and you're like, dude, that was fucking awesome. I can't believe that happened. And then someone goes, that guy sounds gay. And I'm like, all right.
100%.
I'm just like,
100%. Yeah.
It's like, thanks. Like, I don't, I don't know. It made me kind of, like, sorry, Sean Shreve. I'm sorry I was so hard on you when he first came into DFW. Name anyone else that I was kind of, Jeff Kavanaugh, I think I gave a lot of shit to a while back, but you know, now we're good friends, whatever. But I don't know. I apologize. So
sorry to kill the momentum, but I got a hard stop. There's another business term for you.
You got a hard out.
Hard, yeah. Hard.
Okay. Do we have anything else for Jake to tell him before we're gonna end this too, Jake, in about 10 minutes? Is that all right?
Yeah, I gotta catch a reservation, but good catching up with you, Jake.
Are you gonna wear that hat?
Maybe
fix your hair,
dude. I don't wanna.
Is that at least a polo? What is that?
Yeah, it's a pullover.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll go comb my hair.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Okay. Well, again, thank you, Jake. I'm not ending it, but I just wanted to say thank you. And it's so funny that we're doing this now. And I re-listened to that podcast, and I think I might delete it to where no one ever can listen to it again. And I remember after we got done with the podcast, I was like, well, that went terrible. And you're like, what? Everything sounded great. I don't know what you're talking about. I go, all right. Well, I guess it was just on my end.
Yeah, so. I mean, it depends, you know, it depends on what you consider good, bad, or indifferent, you know?
There's two parts that really wrecked me, I guess, as far as anything. My daughter just got home. There was the first part where I was like a straight wuss, and I was like, I'm just glad we're not fighting anymore. And you know, that whatever. And I literally listened to it. And I go, you're about to cry.
It felt like that.
It did feel like that. But you know why? I was thinking about it earlier today and I go, you know what? It's just, I'm not good with, as much. I'm good cutting people off when I want to cut people off. But when I get kind of cut, it's really kind of that personal way. You're like, damn it. That's not one that I wanted to get rid of. And when someone cuts you out like that, you're like, man, I wish this thing could get resolved. Like something like that. And it hits deep to like back when you're like in, you know, elementary school where you want to be friends with that one guy. And that guy's like, hey, you suck. And I'm like, all right, I guess we won't be friends. And you know, it goes so much further than that.
And, that's an insightful point. And, you know, I mean, I think anybody who's, you know, listened to me for any amount of time knows that, you know, I don't know if you want to call it like doing a lot of growing or changing a lot or just evolving as a person. But I mean, you know, I used to be a lot more, confrontational and, you know, fired up about this or that. And I don't know if it's having kids or if it's just like just a natural order of things, but you know, I don't really, you know, I'm not here to really argue too much anymore. So
it's just not worth it. I mean, even
we were just both, you know, it was like 10 years ago.
It is funny to kind of talk about it now, but it's just like a lot of these, I'm trying to think of someone else who I kind of, you know, I guess Sean Shreve would be a good one. It's like, I like messing with him, but I have no beef whatsoever with a guy
like that. Like, and I'll say this, like, one of the main things for me, like, back in the day was I used to get, like, really upset when people would fuck with TC.
Oh.
And there were a lot of people that would do it. And obviously, like, he's a little bit of an unconventional personality, and, like, his delivery and approach are kind of like, what am I hearing here? Somewhat. But he's just, I mean, from one of the first times I ever met him, or probably like one of the first times we ever like went out together, like there was some guy that was like, you know, just talking shit to him. You know, we were at some fucking apartment in Uptown, and it was just like, I could tell, like, it bothered him. And I just, to harken back to how you felt in elementary school, like, I would, you know, even though, like, I was 130 pounds, 6'2",
mm-hmm.
as like an 18-year-old, I was just, I don't know, I always just thought, like, hey, man, if somebody's getting picked on that maybe doesn't really know exactly how to navigate that situation, I was always going to be like, all right, I'm going to hop in here. And I feel like you were kind of involved in an era of like really fiery P1 Twitter, where people were like, and I do think to a certain extent you were mm-hmm. like somewhat shitting on TC. And I was just like, man, I'm going to fucking, I'll show up at
hey, you know
anywhere.
What? That's illuminating too. I agree.
I'll show up anywhere, any day to defend my guy.
Yeah. And as you should. Yeah. As you should.
I love him, you know, so. Hey, that was probably kind of part of it. And now, like, I would bet that if I asked him about that, he'd be like, I wish you would have never done any of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not. And TC's been on the podcast, and he was great on the podcast. And it's, and I, it, that was, he delivered the great line where I go, oh, you blocked me, you want to do that? He's like, I don't want to relitigate the past. And I thought that was fucking great.
Yeah.
Which, so, by the way, for some people to pull the curtain back, getting you the link to this was not easy. Because I have to do it. I have to do it through text.
That's exactly right. I think I still have you blocked, but we have each other's phone number.
Yeah, exactly. I just, you know,
so I'll unblock you, but I'm gonna mute you.
That's perfect. That, yeah, I think that's acceptable. Where we can at least go through those channels, and I'll leave you alone. As far as I'll probably not. I might mute you too, because I don't think I want to see your shit too.
I honestly don't think muting me would do nothing, because the only thing I tweet now are Dumb Zone links and D Magazine links.
Probably the best. Yeah.
I'm not really I'm just not really that into it anymore. Not to say that, I mean, I love the comedy of Twitter, but I just don't, you know, I just, like I was saying a minute ago with Jacob on here, like, I don't find that much value in trying to be incisive or insightful or funny on Twitter anymore. But yeah, just a lot of my battles, like, back in the day were, not to say it was all about TC, but I just felt like, you know, I just felt like a lot of it was me being like, okay, this person, I can look at their tweet history, and it's just, it's a lot of stuff about him, and I didn't love it, because I knew how it affected him, you know? I knew that it was actually hurting him.
You know, if you would have came at me and said, hey, you were a real dick to TC, I would have looked back, maybe, I would try to say this back in the day, I'd be like, well, fuck you.
Right.
No, I would have been like,
the history of hindsight.
No, I would see that now as you're telling me that, I'll go, I was really mean to TC, and I, you know, I actually do feel bad about it, you know, because, you know, it's just like, people have their different things, and there's things that you say, TC say, and goddamn, whatever I say is going to be like, that guy's a fucking idiot, or just, I don't understand why he said that.
But yeah, I mean,
and it's like an okay thing. Like, it's okay, you know.
The flip side of it, though, is that, and I've always thought this, you know, I used to have this conversation with, like, Sean Bass when we did a Sunday morning show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of the evolution for me of, like, the way that, you know, people would either criticize or interact with us, and becoming a little bit more okay with accepting the negative was, you know, in a lot of respects, like, our job was to be critical of other public figures.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for us to get, like, really upset when people would criticize us as public figures.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, all right, well, I mean, this is what we're doing almost every segment.
Yeah.
Either praising or criticizing, you know, other public figures. So how can we just get, you know, this upset when people do it to us? It just felt like with TC, a lot of it sometimes felt like really personal. But at the same time, like, I probably should have chilled on that a little bit. He probably would have preferred that I chilled on it a little bit. But if nothing else, you know, he definitely knows that that I have his back or that I'm there for him or whatever. So
that's actually, you know, much more admirable. It's
all water under the bridge.
That's actually more admirable now, looking with you, that giving the full explanation with it. I go, oh, well, fuck, I might have blocked myself.
Yeah, well,
like that.
I mean,
no, just I like that explanation of it, the whole thing. And it's like, I mean, having your boys back, I mean, that's the most relatable thing ever. I mean, you did, if you came out of a Jacob and going, you know, fuck you, and then come at me like trying to be cool, and be like, hey, fuckhead, no, I don't. You just asked one of my fucking best friends. No, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the best comparison I have is
I'm for sure.
I'm definitely gonna have my boys back in it, and it all makes sense. And there's things that, you know, but I think I do get a little bit of a weird rap on some of these things. Like, I just had Blake on before he joined your podcast, and, you know, I was just kind of like throwing it out there into, you know, quote unquote, the, you know, like some Reddit or something like that. And I remember somebody was like, oh, this, I don't know if I even want to listen to this. I think that guy's a Trumper or something like that. I remember when he interviewed Dan, and I go, I mean, is that my reputation on some of these things? I'm a Trumper? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm good with, you know, I don't really care too much of what anybody thinks about any of my political beliefs, but I'm like, I don't know if I would consider myself a Trumper, or I'm like, but listen to Blake. Like, Blake was great in that podcast. He had such like insightful things to talk about with, you know, him being in the radio business for as long as he did and the things that he came out of it. And I was just like, all right, fine. Fuck me. You know, like, that's why I say with any of these, like, people who don't like me, that's fine. Listen to Jake. Listen to these guys. Because really, it's, I don't enter a lot of these things going, I'll have him as my little co-host. I'm like, no, I'm trying to highlight what these guys are doing because it's interesting to me. Okay. I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying a minute ago about my conversation with Sean, and he wasn't the only one I ever had that conversation with. And it wasn't like an adversarial thing. Like, I think he pretty much, you know, understood where I was coming from, but the reality is, like, anytime you put yourself out there,
it's,
you
tough.
Know,
it's really tough.
What? I mean, I think, you know, we're all doing it for varying degrees of either ego stroke or possible income or whatever. But I mean, you got to take that there's going to be some downside with that as well. So, you know, if nobody's going to come at you for what you think if you don't distribute what you think to people. So to be honest with you, almost nothing of that sort bothers me anymore.
That's good.
Almost nothing.
That does show growth, because I talk about, in, you know, whatever I got as far as hate, I mean, it's enough on like maybe two hands, maybe three or four. But yours is going to be a lot more deluge of like, you suck, you suck, you suck. And a lot of times, you know, I say I like somebody, I don't fucking really even tell you sometimes. And I try to, but half the time, and I say it's fucking good, I move on to the other good thing that I'm going to list. And it's hard to go back. And, you know, I tried to, like, just recently you had that interview with Haralabob. I mean, I was like, dude, that fucking shit was great. That was a great fucking podcast. And I tried to put it out there. I was like, hey guys, this is really good. So, and those things are kind of hard to come by, where it's like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I hear something on the ticket, I was like, that sucked. I didn't, I don't. And it's much easier to go on that, you know, especially, or like,
yeah,
you know, and it's just a reflex. I guess it's really hard to, because there's, when something good happens to you, in a, you know, in an emotional state, you're like, man, that was really good. And it doesn't always push you to go, hey, I need everyone else to listen to this. When you hear something bad, it comes off and goes, oh my God, I just heard the biggest piece of shit ever.
There's
and
no
I,
doubt.
And I have to let everybody know that that sucked.
Yeah. No, that's, I think that that's just like a base human psychology.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's new. I don't think it's entirely related to social media. I think that used to be what just like being on the street walking around was like.
Yeah.
And people would be like, that guy fucking sucks. It's just that now, you know, the way that it's processed and consumed, it just hits a little bit different. But in general, man, like, I don't know. I guess I would just say this. I love what we're doing now. I love working with Blake and Dan. I feel like we're headed in the right direction. We have a lot of different opportunities in front of us. And anybody who's like, hey, you guys suck, or we're mad at you for leaving or whatever, I completely understand where you're coming from. It doesn't upset me. And I'm not saying that just to be like, oh, don't send it, because it's not going to affect me. I don't know, man. I'm getting fucking old. So I'm just like, let's just, you know, whatever makes you happy, you know, just do it. Because I'm going to try to work through my own things on my own, and we shall go from there.
But I think a lot of the things you can look off of from comments is most, I mean, I would say 80 to 90% of the comments, I think you could basically throw the fuck out. Because a lot of it's just, I'm talking about like you getting negative comments. Those ones you can probably throw out. But there is 10% on there where, hey, I think your audio fucked up right here. I think,
of course, you know, I've like, always thought, yeah,
you know, there's like, got to be some. I wouldn't say like if I were you, I'd have a hard time reading the comments. But I would, I know you don't have the money, but I think some of these higher up goes, hey, I need you to read the comments for me and just, you know, get the good constructive criticisms in there, and then all the other shit like, you know, I hope you die in a fiery crash or something like that.
Many of the criticisms of myself that I've read are correct. So I've always just thought like, okay, well, I was hoping nobody like noticed that I screwed this up or that up. But I mean, for the most part, that was kind of like a corner turned for me where it doesn't really make me mad anymore. It's just, is there merit to this? Can I learn and grow from this? And then, yeah, that's about it, man. I know that's like really lame, but
no, yeah, I get
that's kind of the way I feel about it now.
No, I will say before we wrap up, and we're over an hour now. You did, and I think it did include what the Lincoln Douglas debates. It included, yeah, that where you fucked that up, and I thought it was funny because you used the dumb defense, as I would like to, I think I coined that term, because people would come at me on some of the things and go, oh, this is, I go, I just want you to know that you're criticizing a podcast that's called Another Dumb Podcast. Okay. So what you thought you were getting, I don't know,
yeah,
what you
I don't know. It's on the marquee.
Yeah. It's like, it's on there. So if you went in there going, I'm like, if I put a podcast out going, very fine broadcasting,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. and I came out and I just shit the bed, then I would understand it. But
yeah, I would actually say that it's funny to me, before we go,
yeah,
it's funny to me, like, the way that it's perceived, especially like when we were, you know, when we were still on the ticket, there's a lot of people that I think are especially in the sports, especially in the media business in general, that are afraid to be perceived as like not all knowing.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. So you would hear like somebody would come up with like a question and then everybody would lay out because they didn't want to be wrong. Whereas like for us, we were like, let's just guess.
Yeah.
Let's just guess and almost always come up with like the worst possible guess.
You know what? I think I like that bit now.
I just think like for us, it was just, you know, Dan and I are, I don't want to say like egoless, because everybody, media or not, like has an ego, but there's probably a little bit of like self-deprecation involved in it, but you know, I will hear radio shows sometimes like throw out a question and everyone's like, I don't know, or let me look that up. Whereas I'm just like, I think it was Portugal.
Okay, well, yeah. Now that you bring this, I don't know,
or if whatever, and then it's like, no, it was you're 7,000 miles off or whatever. And I think for us, it was just always like, I don't care if people think that we're stupid. Like, I just don't.
That was always impressive during Why Today Doesn't Suck, where someone would tell some name. It's like, oh, he was in that thing. I was like, how does it people know? Now I would just like throw out, hey, I think he was on this one show.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Because now, now you're going to get the feedback. Oh, you're fucking dumb. You didn't do that. And it's like,
it's not to say that we aren't more dumb than most, but it is to say that I think we embrace our level of, I suppose, lack of intelligence, I think, more than most. And a lot of people are just like, I don't want to look like a fool. I've just never, or at least, I don't know about never, but I think Dan is never, and I, for most of my time, have not really been that worried about that.
No. Okay. Well, I appreciate you jumping on, dude. And
sure, man.
Until next time. Okay, I'll end it right here.